Good afternoon. My name is Mary Frances Giles, and our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, and that can be found in most of the hymn Bibles on page 1155. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. This is the word of the Lord.
It is good to be with you this evening. I have been out of the country for the last couple weeks visiting with our missionaries in Central Asia, both in Turkey and in Kazakhstan. I also got to hang out with some of our college students and college staff from our church who were serving this summer in Istanbul. And I do want to say it was a really inspiring time in both Istanbul and Almaty, two amazing cities. And so before we launch into the sermon tonight, I wanted to encourage you all to think about doing a possible missions internship next year in Istanbul. We're challenging folks from our church, and you'll hear about it, particularly this fall, to consider spending 2 years in Istanbul as global interns. 1 year of language studies and cultural adaptation, followed by a second year of placement in your field or study or in your vocation. While you're doing this, you'll be discipled and mentored by our missionaries over there in how to live out your faith and share the gospel in the workplace and make an eternal impact in a place where 99% of the people are not followers of Jesus there. And so we want to ask you to consider going and talk to your friends into going. Go there together. It's an amazing opportunity in an amazing world-class city. If you're a college student, you can not only consider doing that, but you can consider doing that over the next 5 weeks next summer if you want to do that. And then in Kazakhstan, did you know that the largest street ball tournament in Kazakhstan is actually hosted by one of our missionaries? Together with the Basketball Federation and his church and his ministry, we were there to witness 80 teams from across the country. And there's no pickup basketball there. So everybody who plays organized, and so they're really good. All over the country come to play and compete to see who could win. Our missionary Damien, who was part of a college group here, played at Harvard and played in the Russian Pro League for a couple of years. He made it to the playoffs but didn't win. But afterwards, at the victory party, with just about all the teams gathered there, he just got to share the gospel and got to share his testimony of what Jesus had meant to him. And so it was just an amazing weekend. And next summer, we're going to take a group of us over there to help host and serve during this tournament, to work with some of the kids there and some basketball clinics and some English clinics. And so I want to ask you to consider next summer, save some vacation time and come be a part of a basketball ministry in Kazakhstan. They're good. We'll need some players, too, to represent Park Street. Over the last few weeks, or over the last couple months, we've been going through the book of Galatians this summer. And Walter's been walking us through this amazing letter, which talks about the nature of good news and freedom that we have in that good news. We heard it in Tracy's testimony, the freedom that comes in encountering Jesus and the gospel. The last few weeks, we've been focusing on this passage in Galatians chapter 5, the second half of Galatians 5. And 3 weeks ago, Jeff Schulliger walked us through the contrast that the author of this letter, Paul, puts out there. Paul writes about the sinful nature versus the life bearing fruit in the Spirit. And he talked about the contrast of those two over a two-week period. Last Sunday, we were reminded by Tony Kim about how we bear fruit in our lives in a very practical way, how we bear patience in our lives. We're reminded through these passages that we are in the process of what we call sanctification. That word just simply means to be made holy before God. And each and every day, and each and every week, and each and every moment that we attempt to follow after Jesus, hopefully we're being made more and more into His image. And this Sunday, we're going to wrap up this chapter with a focus on the two verses that were just read earlier. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Listen to that. Live by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. What an amazing, incredible admonishment, a promise. But I would dare say that for most of us sitting here tonight, that reality that the Scriptures talk about isn't reflected in our own lives. For us, it's what comes next which seems to be more real than living and walking with the Holy Spirit. The reality that the sinful nature is contrary, the desires of the sinful nature is contrary to the desires of the Spirit, and that they're in conflict with each other. And here's the kicker that seems to define, I'm guessing, too many of our lives. So that you do not do what you want. I read that and go, that's me. That's my heart. That's my struggle. That's my life. I don't do what I want. Too many times I make decisions. Too many moments of my days. Too many ways of living my faith. I don't do that which I want to do. Neil Anderson, a Christian author and a theologian and a counselor and pastor, once did an informal survey. He asked 50 Christians that he just was meeting with, and he asked them, do you feel inferior, insecure, guilty, ashamed, defeated, or sinful? And to his amazement, he asked, and these were all Christian people that he asked. All 50 of them said that most of those characteristics exemplified their lives. I got a feeling tonight, sitting here in this sanctuary, many of us are struggling with that conflict within us. Knowing that we have this freedom in Jesus, but feeling in our own lives that we are sinful. That we're defeated. We feel ashamed. We feel guilty. We feel insecure. And we feel inferior in our faith. But in the midst of this conflict, tonight's word gives us hope. Gives us a promise that when we do live life in the Spirit, that this conflict can be resolved within us. So I want to invite us to just pray tonight as we look at this passage. Would you just pray for yourself in just a couple moments of silence? And particularly if you need it, pray for hope. Pray for hope that comes in being changed and transformed in the power of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. God, I know in my own life, I feel defeated way too often when you've told me in your word that I'm more than a conqueror. Lord, in our lives tonight, my sense is that many of us come feeling defeated. Would you remind us in your word that we are victorious in this conflict that rages within us? In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. We all know that struggle. We all know the struggle that's within us. The desires of the sinful nature, which are easy to succumb to. And then the desires of the Spirit and the call of the Spirit, which often are harder to be obedient to. We know that they're in conflict with one another, because I would reckon that every one of us has struggled within this conflict. Do I do what's right? Do I do what's easy? Do I obey God? Or do I live for myself? We want to do what's right, but we just can't seem to get our act together. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 7, a little bit more explicitly. He goes, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I'm sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Did you get that? For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Y'all ever feel that way? I have the desire to do what is good, but I just can't seem to carry it out. And the opposite of that. I don't want to do the evil, but I keep on doing the evil that I don't want to do. It's a conflict that's played out in all of our lives. For some of us, daily, this conflict is played out. Where we want to be people who are holy, following after Jesus, obedient, righteous. And yet, these phrases characterize us more than the life of Jesus. We can't help but sin. And the good that we want, we just can't help doing it. I read that and I go, that's so me. That's so my life. That's so the condition of my soul. But in contrast, the Bible says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I read that and I scratch my head. You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature? And I know so many of us ask that question. Is that really possible? I remember as a freshman in college, I had one of those moments where for the first time in my life, I realized how badly I needed God. I had accepted Christ as a little child and had been attempting to follow after God. But it was one of those nights, it was one of those moments when you have a reckoning with God and you just realize, I need God badly. So late that night, I remember committing myself to God, saying, Jesus, I will be obedient to you no matter what the cost. I was just tired of my apathy. I was tired of my sinfulness. I was committed and I was determined that night. And from that point on in my life, I went sinless. As far as I know, until maybe lunchtime the next day. And I think I slept in pretty good the next day. We come with this intention, we come with this heart. We come longing and desiring to live life in that Spirit, walking with the Spirit, to not gratify the desires of that sinful nature. And yet we fail, and we fail, and we fail over and over and over again. Many of us tonight have prayed that sinner's prayer. We've accepted Jesus into our lives. We might even be a part of a Bible study. We attend church here regularly. We pray to God, and yet we feel absolutely helpless in our struggle against sin. And we ask ourselves that question, am I missing something? Am I missing something? If we're honest with ourselves, our assessment of our own selves would be that most of us aren't living that Christian life that we would want to be living. And many of us would readily admit that we're barely hanging on. I know this as one of your many pastors here over the last 7 years. I gotta say, we are a church that's full of sinners. Probably the example of your pastors. I see it in so many lives. As soon as we get past the surface conversations, we discover that most of us are a mess inside. I would guess that the majority of us feel caught in the trap of a sin, in an addiction, in an ungodly pattern of behavior that we can't seem to escape or break out of. A couple weeks ago when we looked at the passage of Scripture in chapter 5 here, we looked at verse 19, which listed the behaviors of the flesh or the sinful nature. Verse 19 of chapter 5 says, "But the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, that fornication, impurity, licentiousness, and then idolatry and sorcery, then that followed by the relational sins of enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, and envy, and then drunkenness and carousing and things like this." And as I read down this list, I go, yes, yes, no, yes, no, yes, 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 no, 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 yes, yes. These are the sins that I struggle with. I don't know how you would go down that list. We have these internal struggles within. And when we read a verse like this, which lists those sort of sins, it's revealing in our own lives. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness. Most of us in here are young adults, and the fact is, as young adults, we are struggling. Just older adults struggle too, and really young adults too. Many of us are really struggling, first in these areas of fornication, impurity, and licentiousness, these areas of sexual sins. I know that we're all in different stages of our faith journey, but I think that even while we struggle in these areas, most of us know that too many of the choices we make are not right before God and are wrong according to Scriptures. Many of us are sleeping with our boyfriends and our girlfriends, or even people who we're not in relationships with, knowing that it's not what God wants for our lives. And yet we find it impossible to turn back, to repent, to resist that temptation, to commit ourselves to God in that area. For us married men and women, if the statistical numbers hold true, we probably have in our midst tonight men and women who have and will commit adultery in our lives. And you know, the crazy thing about anyone who commits adultery is, I think those who commit adultery know that it will totally destroy their lives, right? They know that it will totally destroy their lives. Yet why do people continue to do it? I'm guessing it's a sense that they just can't help themselves. How many others of us tonight might not feel like we are sitting in these areas, but nonetheless, we are caught and trapped in cycles of lust, of pornography, of unhealthy sexual views of ourselves and of others. The numbers are staggering. That 50% of men, probably higher than 50% of men, both within and outside of church, and at least 20% of women, both within and outside of church, struggle with an addiction to pornography. If we were to look at ourselves, many of us know that we are truly a mess inside. Externally, we might be able to hide our sins, but internally there is a conflict raging within where we yearn to not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, and yet we feel in bondage to them. You know, Jeff defined idolatry and sorcery a few weeks ago as idolatry being misplaced priorities. Anytime we are disobeying the first commandment to have no other gods before me, and yet we place priorities before God, those are the idolatries in our lives, and sorcery is this need for control in our lives. How many of us know of the conflict within us when we know we have misplaced priorities in our lives, when we know that we have control issues in our lives, and yet we can't break out of this conflict? We can't seem to submit these areas before God. In the relational areas of sin, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, and envy. How many times have you and I been in conversations with people a mother, a father, a spouse, or a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or a friend, or a roommate, whoever it might be, and we are so determined not to get angry, not to lose our temper. And yet we get into the midst of that conversation and we can't help but hurt with our words, wound, let that unforgiveness, let that bitterness come out of us. We want so badly to live righteously, and yet we cannot help but maliciously gossip, tear down other people, and be plain mean to somebody. Anything to make us feel better about ourselves. We know the conflict that rages within when there seems to be unforgiveness and bitterness rooted in some of our own inner pain. When Jesus says the spirit is willing but the flesh is so weak, we know that that is what we are about. We're so willing and we're so yearning, and yet we seem so helpless. And drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. How many of us tonight are addicted to some sort of substance, whether it's alcohol or drugs? We're kidding ourselves if we think that in a room this size, that there's not somebody who's addicted to some sort of drug, somebody who's not struggling with alcoholism in their life. Well, we cannot break out of these destructive patterns in our own lives. And we ask ourselves that question, where is that freedom that we expect to find in Jesus? We want and we yearn for that spirit-filled life. And yet, we feel totally defeated. I don't know about you, but at too many points in my life, within that inner conflict, within that struggle, I knew that all I wanted was to be out. I wanted to be out of that struggle. And I think when we come to that point of struggle, when we come to that point of conflict that rages within us, I think that's when we come to the point and to the place of grace. You know, when we know we belong to Jesus, so that we cannot help living in the flesh, which is contrary to that life that is in Jesus. When we realize that we are utterly helpless and hopeless, isn't that when we come to the place of grace? Because though we are in this conflict, and though we feel defeated, there is another reality at work within us, a truer reality at work within us. And it's the simple promise that God gives us in His Word, that if we walk with the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. How does that work? How do we break out of our bondages? How do we break out of this, the trap of sin? How do we break out of the defeated places that we feel we've been in? We do that in faith, when we begin to understand our true identity in Jesus Christ. All of Galatians drives at this point that it's not what we do, but it's what God has done for us, which is important. Our reality is that when Jesus Christ came, He put to death our sinful natures. Galatians 2:20 declares, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We heard that in the testimony before the baptism. That there's this truth, that there's reality at work in our lives. And just because we can't accept it, it doesn't mean that that truth and that reality is any less potent or any less at work in our lives. The reality is God did not come into this world to simply make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people alive. He came to make us who were totally and completely dead in our own sinful natures
alive. The sinful nature that we struggle with, this conflict that we have. The Scriptures tells us that this sinful nature is no longer who we are. Because in Jesus, and this is the gospel, in Jesus, we who were dead, we who had no choice but to always choose sin, have now been made alive in Him. And so we ask ourselves, if this is our reality, how come I keep sinning? How come that sinful nature seems to characterize me more than the life in the Spirit? When we were made new in Christ, that did not mean that every part of us, every part of our sinful desires just automatically fell away. But our wills were made new. And this will that we have, it's like a toggle switch between the life in the Spirit and the life in the flesh, or the sinful nature. And for many, many years, you and I were conditioned in the life of the sinful nature. We were subject to it, slaves to sin. We had a master, Satan, that we followed after. And now when Jesus comes into our lives, He makes us new. He kills that sinful nature. But our bodies, our minds, our souls, our emotions are still conditioned to follow after that flesh, to follow after that sinful nature, which is no longer who we are. But it's like an outside piece. It's like a splinter that is within us that we're trying to exhale. That's the wrong word. That we're trying to... I had it somewhere written down here. That we're trying to get rid of in our lives. Expel, thank you. It's such a simple word. The Scriptures reminds us that we do not need to be trapped in this life of the sinful nature. And actually, that this life of the sinful nature, it's no longer who we are. The reality is that you and I, everybody who has chosen to follow after Jesus and submitted their life to God, God reminds us that they are now a saint in Jesus Christ. They've been made holy. And all of Galatians has been reminding us, it's not what we do, but what Jesus has done for us, which makes us who we are. Why is this significant? Why is this significant? It's significant because we begin to break out of that struggle. We break out of our conflict. We break out of the trap of sin in our lives through the act of faith. And faith is believing the truth about what God has said about you. In 1 John chapter 3, John writes, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world did not know us, it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." Did you get that? We should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And He goes, "Beloved, we are God's children now." For all of us tonight who are sitting here feeling defeated, feeling inferior, feeling insecure, guilty, ashamed, sinful, defeated. The reality is that when you came to Christ, God lifted all of those characteristics away from you and buried them and crucified them on the cross with Jesus and has given you a new identity as His son, as His daughter. God is pleased in you. God finds you perfect, not because you're perfect, but because He's made you perfect. You know, my son is now 20 months old, and he is going through the terrible two-stage early, I guess. He's just learned the meaning of tantrum, and I've learned the meaning of tantrum. And it's just so much fun watching him throw tantrums. The reality is that as fathers, the identity that my son Noah has gotten, he's always going to be related to me. No matter what our relationship is like, he's always going to be my son. That's the promise that God has made us, that He's adopted us in Jesus Christ, made us His sons, His daughters. That relationship that we have with our fathers, it can be a harmonious one, filled with obedience. It can be non-existent. And yet that relationship does not change when God makes it so. Transformation begins with faith, and it begins with what we believe about God and about ourselves. God has changed our nature, and our job is to keep putting to death the things of the flesh which once had control over us. And the promise of God is that when we became believers, we were given the Holy Spirit, the deposit of the Holy Spirit, and now we have a new nature which is no longer defined by sin. And in that new nature, we're called to grow and bear fruit and live life in the Spirit. So how do we get out of this conflict going on in our lives? We do it by believing. We do it by believing. Peter, in 1 Peter 3, writes, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." I got a feeling that in here tonight, many of us are struggling with defeat in our lives because we are double-minded. We have yet to come and commit ourselves to the truth that God has made us new in Jesus Christ. We cannot do it on our own. We need to do it in Christ and in our faith in Christ. And Peter reminds us that we need to purify our hearts and stop being double-minded people. You know, Martin Luther talked about temptation, and he said there's nothing you can do to prevent a bird from pooping on your head. It probably sounds better in German. But he goes, but you can prevent a bird from building a nest in your hair. Too many of us are caught in defeat, caught in guilt and shame, because we've been living as double-minded people, where we yearn to follow after God, and yet we're not ready to let go of the sin that is within us. Peter writes, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We got to start believing. We got to start believing that what we have in Jesus is enough. We got to start believing that once we give ourselves to Jesus, that even those desires of the world that we think are just so attractive, that they're nothing compared to the life that Jesus offers us. Not only do we need to start believing the truth about ourselves, we need to start resisting. You know, there's my friend was sharing with me, he went to this country and he saw a sign that said, "It is against the law to eat porcupines." And then he found a man who was hunting porcupines, and he thought, "Hey, doesn't the law says you should not eat porcupines?" And the man says, "Yes, the law says you should not eat porcupines, but I'm not eating porcupines, I'm hunting porcupines." And he continued to watch that man, and the man caught a porcupine, began skinning it. And he said, "Doesn't the law say you shouldn't eat the porcupine?" He goes, "Oh, I'm not eating the porcupine, I'm just skinning the porcupine." And then the man began barbecuing the porcupine. And he goes, "Doesn't the law say that you should not, you know, eat porcupine?" "Oh, I'm not eating porcupine, I'm just barbecuing it, I'm just cooking it." And then the man began eating the porcupine, and the guy goes, "Hey, the law says you shouldn't eat the porcupine." He goes, "I'm not eating the porcupine, I'm just tasting the porcupine." And too many of ourselves find ourselves in the trap of sin because we are not willing to believe in this new identity that Jesus has given us, and we're not willing to resist the schemes of the devil in our lives. Not only do we need to believe, we need to resist. And thirdly, we need to admit that we cannot live the Spirit-filled life on our own. A few weeks ago, Jeff talked about several things we need to do or can do to live part of the Spirit-filled life. And he talked about the role of daily prayer, of worship, open-ended meeting time with God. And then he talked about meeting regularly with other committed believers. James reminds us, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Did you get that? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Many of us are living a defeated Christian life and are so unwilling to admit that to any one of us. And because of the fact that we're living these lives in secret, Satan has a hold of that piece of our lives. When Jesus calls us to confess it, bring it into the light, and allow that part of our lives to lose power, we have to admit that we cannot live the victorious Christian life on our own. Not only do we need the power of God living in us to make us believe, not only do we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us resist the schemes of the devil, but we need the accountability and the commitment of friends and believers around us. Some of us need to take into fact that the sins that are within us and the struggles that are within us and the conflict that we are struggling with daily, that we need help for it. Some of us need to come and need to go meet with a pastoral counselor, an older Christian leader, a mentor, somebody to deal with what's going on in your life. Some of us need to just admit that we need psychological, psychiatric, substance help with the things that we are caught in addiction to. Some of us need to begin to confess our sins before one another. I don't know how many small groups that I have visited and been a part of where the confession of sins was not a part of that group at all. And I can just picture this in your life. I don't know if you've been a part of a small group or many small groups. But as I was preparing the sermon, thinking about the small groups I was in, all the small groups in my life where the confession of sins was a part of that small group, I actually grew in. And all the small groups in my life where that wasn't a part of that small group, they were frankly a waste of my time. I might have made some friends there, but I did not grow in those groups. We need one another if we want to break out of the defeated Christian life. Tonight I want to invite you after the service every evening, Sunday evening, we invite people to come and just pray for whatever reasons you have in your life. If God's been working in your heart, if you just feel like, hey, I got an area that I'm just tired of struggling with over and over, and I just want somebody to pray with, I want to invite you to just come forward. We meet in the front right of the sanctuary, myself, some of the other pastors around. If you're a small group leader and are available to pray with people, I invite you to just come, and also prayer ministry. Let's be tired. Let's say enough of the defeated Christian life. Let's begin to take whatever steps are necessary in our lives to begin to live in that promise that God has given us. Walk with the Holy Spirit, and we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. If you're at a place that you're tired, like you are, that I've been in, if you're at a place where you go, tonight, I just want it to be different. Realize that there's other brothers and sisters. Realize that every one of your pastors, every one of your leaders is probably in that same place or has been in that same place. And let's walk with the Lord together. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. That you take those of us who are sinners, that you take those of us who are helpless in that and hopeless in that, and that you forgive us, and that you keep forgiving us. I thank you for the grace that is in that, that you accept us no matter how much we mess up our own lives. Lord God, I also thank you for the grace that empowers us to live the lives that you have called us to live. Lives of victory. Lives filled with your Holy Spirit. Lives that bear the fruit of your Holy Spirit. I pray for brothers and sisters here tonight who might want that recommitment in their lives, to know the victory that comes in you, Jesus. I pray that even as we are praying now, that your Spirit would be allowing them to take the steps necessary to find that victory. Bring them to a place of confession. Bring them to a place of accountability. Bring them to a place of submission and of resistance. Would your Holy Spirit be working in our lives, because we cannot do it on our own. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.